Blog Talk Radio.
Been running through me like you got somewhere to be. You're stuck in a full-time daydream. Always in a rush, I know you're busy for lunch. Taking pictures of your coffee.
Yes, we do. We all go running around and around and around. And now we're going to stop running around for a while, sit back and relax, and listen and enjoy the moment. Yes, this is our official band that provides all the music for Tippy Talk. He's Newborn. If you have not heard of them yet, you will, because they're on the brink of exploding into a world-renowned band. And if you want to hear more of the music, you can go to newbornband.com and enjoy the wonderful sounds. And now it's time to step into the Sippy Zone, where we explore the other side of reality, the side that allows you to reshape your life, to step into your power, and to connect to the fact that we are all one. Welcome to Tippy Talk. My name is Tippy Feldenstein, and I am dedicated to explore a life that is lived with clarity, confidence, control, and awareness. Tippy Talk is where you go from where you are to where you want to be.
And that's the way it is, everybody. Hey, I'd like to welcome everybody, because today we have a very special show for you. A lot of people have been asking me to talk about meditation and to talk about what that actually means. Our guest today is going to give us a little bit of an insight into something that I believe really needs a lot of clarity. And so let me tell you a little bit about what we have today coming and who is coming to us, because you will love it. Today's guest, her name is Hani Messinger. Hani Messinger does so many things, I have no idea how she gets it all done. So she's an occupational therapist. She's going to school to get a PhD. She works on an individual people, I guess kids. She also works as an adjunct professor, and she's going all the way to Italy to give a speech. I have no idea how one person can do all that, and I'm really going to ask her how she finds time to do it, because I need some of that time. But not only that, we're going to focus today on something so much deeper than that. We're going to talk about meditation. We're going to talk about mindfulness. We're going to talk about all the things that are really important to live a balanced life if you really want to accomplish a lot. So I'd like to welcome Hani Messinger. Thank you so much for joining us, and welcome to Tippy Talk, Hani.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I'm extremely grateful and thankful to have the opportunity to have a conversation with you.
Thank you. It is definitely totally my pleasure. So
thank you.
You're not in Italy right now, right? You're here in the United States. And
I'm
you're
in
going
Brooklyn,
to Italy.
New York.
And in Brooklyn. Oh, I'm in Brooklyn too. Awesome. So first of all, Hani, we really want to know a little bit about yourself. You have accomplished a lot already. You've already earned your master's degree in occupational therapy. You already are in the process of getting your PhD. You're already working. You're already doing public speaking. I don't think anything will ever stop you from going anywhere you want to go. So
thank you.
Tell us, how do you do that? How do you get all that done in the same 24 hours that I have?
I work with their mentor, Dr. Shefali Tazveri and Susie Lula. So I really need to give a lot of thanks to them. And they really helped me learn how time is extremely expansive. It's not necessarily sizing or thinking that I don't have enough time to do X, Y, and Z. It's really about just being with the moment, and the time and moments just expand when you allow it to.
That sounds wonderful, honey. So what you're saying is that it's not, you don't have to be a type A personality to be able to accomplish the things that you want to accomplish, but you have to have a different approach.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's more about having the idea that I want to accomplish X, Y, and Z. What are the necessary steps for me to be able to get to that point? At the same time, it's not fixating at the idea. It's really enjoying that process in order to get to that place, because it's really ultimately about the process that's allowing you to get to the next point or the next stage. It's not about fixating on the end result or how it should be or how it needs to be or how it must be. It's more about like looking at everything as a whole entity and realizing that time is really limitless. When we place fixation of I have to have something done by a certain time, ultimately it can stagnate us and it puts a lot of pressure on us to be able to do what we need to do in that time. Rather, looking at it more as time, yes, I have to do something at a certain point, but how can I, what is the best way? How can I be in a state of being to be able to do that, rather coming from a state of being of being extremely pressured to be able to do so?
I love that. So does the meditation and the mindfulness that you practice and that you love, does that have something to do with it?
Definitely does. I would say the meditation really allowed me to be attentive to myself, my thoughts and feelings, and almost like I'm me, but then observe me at a different level to have this multi-sensory approach. Like I am me, I'm doing an activity, but yet at the same time, there's so much more beyond the activity that I'm doing. There's so much more that's going into this activity. I'm sitting, I'm thinking, there's the light that's shining on my eyes, there's a hand, my hands that are placed on the computer. So it's this whole bigger picture that's coming into play.
Wow, yeah, you're right. It's just like with public speaking, how you approach that and the things that you're aware of all the things that are going on at the same time. Did you always get attracted to that kind of thinking, or did you have a turning point where you said, oh yeah, this is what I want?
I would say the combination of the two. So at a very, very young age, I would say at around like 4 or 5 years old, I would look at the adults in my life and I would like look at them almost like they're like aliens. They're like so fixated on having to get things certain done or having to do X, Y, and Z, or you have to be a certain way or do a certain way. And at a very young age, I had this realization, but I didn't know how to like stay within this realization and how to stay within it. So over time, like I did lose that. And as a teenager, the realization started to come back again. I was not feeling very content or very happy where I'm at. I was very, like, I was a very good girl. I listened to my parents. Parents said, you need to go to school. I went to school. You need to do well in school. So I did the best that I could. I did well in school. And I was ultimately doing a lot of things for my parents or a lot of things for my friends. And I wasn't really taking in consideration of what I am feeling or what I am thinking. And I was in this, almost like this, as Dr. Shefali says, this, like, checklist. So you go to school, you have preschool, you have elementary, you have high school, you go to college, and then after college, or maybe during college, you're expected to be in relationships. You're expected to get married, and then you're expected to have a family, and then you're expected, you want to live in this house, in a nice white picket fence house, and you want to have this nice fancy car. And it was going along that lines, and I reached a point when I would say I was in my late teenage years, I was realizing like I'm following this ideology and I'm just not feeling very happy. I was having a lot of anxiety. I was very sad. And I was like, what is going on here? Like I'm doing all these different things. I'm doing really well academically. I have my friends, I have my family, but just something wasn't matching. Something wasn't right. So big turning point for me, I would say 23 years old, I was in a relationship and I was feeling all these different emotions, and like, you're supposed to be happy, you're supposed to be excited, you're supposed to be thinking about having a family, having kids, and I definitely want to have a family. I know that I do want to have kids, but I wasn't feeling that, and I was like, what is wrong? What is up with me? And then I realized that I'm following in the footsteps of something that I didn't necessarily want to do, but I didn't really know how to like break out of it. Started being introduced to meditation. I was really introduced to meditation, I would say, when I was 14 years old in high school. I think it was an intro to psychology class. And I had a lot of ideologies about meditation, like it's for older people or it's not for me. This is really boring. And I clearly wasn't really ready at that point. Then I was reintroduced to it again at 20. I actually got a certification as a life coach. And that's when one of the treatment modalities was a form of meditation. And I was also not really so ready at that point. Once I was about 23 years old, I was reintroduced to it again. And I was trying to see, like, can meditation be a way for not to eliminate anxiety, not to eliminate sadness, just as a way for me to just allow myself to just be with whatever. And from there on out, since 23 years old, that really like inspired me to cultivate a consistent meditation practice.
That sounds like a really logical journey, I would say. Because when everything is great and you're happy with what you're doing, you don't look for different things. But when you don't feel comfortable, you kind of begin to look around and say, and see what is it that I can do to make myself feel better. Because I think the being happy and the state of being content is something that we naturally aspire to be. We naturally gravitate towards that. So what is the definition of meditation?
Sorry, if I can go back for one second. Before, let's say, happiness, I feel like happiness is a great idea and a great place and a great thing. However, I feel like it's really, like, it's very transient. It's almost like a Band-Aid. It's something that comes and goes. So I feel like through meditation or through anything that I'm doing, I'm not really trying to cultivate a state of happiness. I would say it's more of like a state of neutrality, just to allow and just to be with happiness and with sadness. Because ultimately, through meditation, I was able to realize to a degree that happiness and sadness are on a continuum, and it's just that we're placing labels on it. We're automatically assuming sadness is negative and happiness is something positive, and we shouldn't be feeling a certain way, or we shouldn't be doing a certain way, when we can create that neutral state of being, of allowing both of these emotions to just be, and not really giving labels or not deciding because I'm happy I'm going to spread it to the world, or because I'm sad I'm just going to mope and be sad and be within myself. So I feel like that's something for me that I've been learning to keep in mind.
Wow, what you just said is something that we can discuss for 10 hours, 20 hours, 100 hours, because you're talking about the state of being, which is every human endeavor. So you're saying that in your state of being, if something is not right, if you're not content, then you look to make that state of being more comfortable with that. Is that how you kind of look at it?
Yeah, but within that state of being, let's say if I'm feeling sad or feeling upset or feeling angry, like I'm like amazed, okay, I'm feeling this emotion, and now this is opportunity for me to meditate. Let me meditate on this feeling. Let me write about this feeling. Let me go out in nature. It's not about pushing this feeling away and be like, I don't want to feel angry. I don't want to feel sad. It's not about that, because when we're pushing away our emotion, it makes it a lot bigger than it actually is. And if we're constantly pushing away a certain feeling, it's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger, to the point that we're going to reach like this melting point where we're not able to function.
And also, I think it's going to come back.
Yeah,
whether
it's going to come back stronger and stronger.
Just push it.
Yeah.
Right. You can't just push it away and expect it never to come back, because if you don't deal with it, so you're saying that by being in the state of being, dealing with that situation and accepting it for what it is, that's the way you can navigate through it rather than run away from it.
And that's how you can navigate through life. Like, you don't get a promotion, or you get a bad grade, or someone looks at you the wrong way, or someone says something to you. It's like taking that step back and realizing that what this person's saying, what this person's doing, these external things, why does it need to have such a strong factor in my life? Why am I allowing this to? There's no need. So when you're able to be very calm and collective with yourself, take that step back. Yeah, you're going to be upset. Yeah, you're going to be angry. Whatever feelings are there, but just taking that step back and coming to that realization it's okay that I'm feeling this way, accepting, acknowledging this, trying to get an understanding of where it's coming from, and just allowing the feeling to just be there rather than
right.
pushing it away
that
and
makes...
for it to get stronger, for you to be reactive towards that other person. Oh, you said da 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 da, and then I comment back and I go into that same level or same. It's ultimately getting nowhere. Ultimately, it's coming from a place the person's upset, the person's hurt, and then you're ultimately yelling or getting upset at that person. You're ultimately exacerbating the situation. The same thing with your thoughts and feelings. If you're not being with how you're feeling, or if you're not being with how you're thinking, it's ultimately going to get exacerbated as well.
Right. That's such a tremendous thing that can change your entire life. Here you are walking along, singing a song, and somebody comes over and says, "You're stupid," and that's it. Your whole day is ruined, right?
Yeah, it's like that simple thing, yet it's a beautiful day. It's sunny outside. You have a roof over your head. You're able to connect to people through technology, and these are, like, things to focus in on rather than this minute thing. But, like, yeah, this minute thing feels really big, and it does. It can have a really big impact, but you have the person said I'm stupid. Let me take that step back. Let me just see. That's the person's viewpoint, their perspective. Their perspective has nothing to do with my perspective, how I'm feeling. I just need to be content with me. Maybe there's something that I need to reflect on or see where is it coming from, have a conversation to get an understanding of where the other person's coming from. But maybe not, depending on what the situation or whatever it may be. And then you're able to discern and, like, decide for yourself. That's ultimately
right.
what it's about.
Right. So you have more control over your life, so you can accomplish more things, because those setbacks don't affect you as much, and they don't necessarily
mm-hmm.
stop you from walking forward. So again, why don't you give me the definition of meditation? That way we have a
yeah.
clear picture of, when you say meditation, what do you mean by that?
For me, I practice Vipassana meditation. It's also known as insight meditation. And the way I cultivate meditation is about being on the breath. It sounds so simple, yet it is extremely complex.
Being on the breath, is that what you said?
Yes, about being attentive to your breath, being attentive to your sensation, being attentive to your thoughts, being attentive to your emotions. But meditation is about being on the breath. Anytime you have a thought, you have a feeling, focusing and building that muscle to learn how to be on the breath. Through, you can practice, I practice meditation by sitting and eyes open, eyes closed, just sitting and breathing, focusing on the chest area, maybe the heartbeat, maybe the nostril area, whatever area feels very strong for you. Starting out, I would say focusing in on the chest or the belly area, because these areas have larger surface area and it's easier to be attentive to those places.
So I like that. I've never heard that before, being on the breath, and it sounds very exotic and beautiful, but I'm not 100% sure what it means. So
mm-hmm.
It means something about you sitting and you breathing. Are you saying
mm-hmm.
that you're not thinking about anything else other than your breath? Is that what you're
Absolutely
saying?
Absolutely not. No.
Always. Okay. So that's what,
if we have, let's say,
yeah.
opportunity, we're practicing a meditation. So the intention is, anytime we're noticing our thoughts, our feelings, it's wandering. My thought is, what am I going to make for supper tonight? Am I going to have eggs or am I going to have meatballs? And, oh, I don't know if I have eggs. Maybe I need to go to the store. So it's all about when you're sitting and when you're breathing and when you're practicing a meditation, is noticing these thoughts, noticing what's coming. And whenever you notice these thoughts, you're going to just try to refocus back onto the breath and back onto the breath. Every time your thoughts are coming up, as best as you can. But it's not really, if your thoughts go and you create a whole story and your whole meditation is that, that's okay. That's what the meditation was meant for you to be in those moments in time. So it's not really about placing judgment or being critical with it. It's really about noticing how I'm feeling, noticing my thoughts, and really trying to cultivate and learning how to be on the breath. So when it's coming to everyday life, if you're constantly meditating 10 minutes twice a day, three times a day, or even 5 minutes three or four times a day, when it comes to your daily interactions with friends, with family, with work, with whatever obligations you may have, you're able to cultivate this mindfulness state through the meditation practice that you have.
think I was just blocked out, but can you hear me now? Okay. So I think what exactly we talked about right now is Honey was saying, talking about being under breath, and then in my mind, my question was, what do I do with all the other thoughts that come into my head when I'm under breath? And I didn't even say what I was thinking, and you answered my question by telling me that if other thoughts come into my mind, I'm sitting there breathing and the thought comes into my mind like, oh my God, I have to do something, instead of ignoring it or trying really hard not to get upset about it, just notice it and continue and go back to breathing, go back to being what you would call on your breath. I think that's basically what it's all about. I think we lost you for a second and got you back, Honey, right? Yeah. So basically,
I think it's a great point.
Yeah.
Like if you say, don't think about an apple, what's going to come to mind?
An apple.
Exactly. So it's like you're sitting, you're meditating, or you're having a big feeling or a small feeling, whatever it may be, and I'm telling you, don't be sad. What's going to happen? You're going to be sad. So it's like, don't think your thought, but you're having the thought. No, it's not. Allowing the thought and breathing with that thought. And it's not about pushing it away. It's not about, I like this thought, I don't like this thought, I want to be happy, so I'm going to push to be happy, or I want to be angry, so I'm going to push, or whatever it may be. It's not. It's just attentive to right here, right now. What am I feeling? What am I thinking? That's really what it's all about.
Right. And so when you become aware of the thoughts, because I think one of the things that I do, and I don't know if everybody else does it, is when I'm sitting there trying to focus on anything, whether it's on my breath or on one thing, thoughts come into my mind, but I'm not really aware that those thoughts are coming into my mind right away. So when I become aware of it, I just basically, you're saying, acknowledging it and going back to what you call being under breath. So acknowledging and going back to what you really be doing.
Right.
And that
yeah.
in essence, and that's the essence of what we call meditation. So how much time should a person meditate for a healthy balance in life? What would be the ideal?
Ideal, I would say 30 minutes consistently for one sitting. But
per
for
day?
People that are, yeah, per day, ideally, and if you're able to, even 45 minutes a day. Realistically speaking, I know for myself and the busyness of work and me being in school and the busyness of family and friends and cultivating that balance, in addition to adding and having a meditation practice, can be a challenge. So for me personally, I typically try to meditate a half hour in the morning and a half hour at night. And anytime during work, if I have, let's say, a half hour, 45-minute lunch break, I'll try to cultivate 15 to 20 minutes during my work day. Or even when I'm driving from work to home or home to work or driving to go to friends or family, I'm also trying to cultivate meditation or cultivating a mindfulness practice as well. So anytime I have that time, I try to bring in some form of mindfulness, some form of meditation. Because I know there is the hustle and the bustle, and the key is the consistency of meditation. Ideally, it's important to do it every day for that amount of time. But if you're not able to cultivate that large block of time, I would say even just starting out 2-3 minutes a day and then gradually increasing that to 4 minutes, 5 minutes, 6 minutes, because you don't want to force yourself to have it or have to do it. You want this practice to be something natural and something that's coming to you. And this is something that I've learned from Susie Lula on the importance of gradually building your tolerance and matching where you're at. So today I'm feeling 2 minutes, I'm going to try 2 minutes. And it's acknowledging that today I was able to do 2 minutes. And then maybe a few hours later, I'm going to be able to do another 2 minutes. And then maybe another week, I'm going to be able to have 5 minutes and then 10 minutes. And it's just constantly building and building upon where you're starting to get to ultimately a greater capacity and a greater ability to be able to just sit and allow and be.
Okay, so you would say strive to do at least half hour, but if 2 minutes is your limit or 3 minutes is your limit, start with that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Start where you're at. And don't be hard on yourself if you're only able to do that 2 minutes and you're trying to do the 15 minutes and it's really hard, because I've been there. done that where I was, I'm like, I'm going to meditate, especially when I was first starting out. I'm going to meditate for 15 minutes, and it was really hard. Sometimes I would only get the 5 minutes in, and sometimes I would even meditate for 20 minutes. So, like, depends on the day, depends on where you're at, just being very kind and compassionate to yourself. And if you, a big question that I've been getting is, what happens if I fall asleep during meditation? And that's okay if you fall asleep. That's what you needed. That's what your body needed, and it's accepting and allowing that. And when your mind is not, is in a state of, like, laxity, we're not used to that, especially if you're just starting out. So it's just acknowledging and anything, any moment, any second, any amount that you're able to put in can be life-changing, especially the importance of the consistency of it. And it's not really being attached to the life-changing component to it as well. It's just allowing and just seeing. And some meditation practice will be amazing, some may not be, but it's really ultimately not about that, because all the meditation practice are ultimately all very neutral.
So you did that again. You kind of read my mind. I was going to ask you, tell you that sometimes I fall asleep, especially when I'm really tired and I meditate, and that does that make it bad or whatever? And you said, no, it's okay. You're reading my mind. But I wasn't going to ask you that before. I was going to go back to something else, because we're talking about you doing meditation and mindfulness. And I know they're related somehow, but it's not the same. Meditation is meditation and mindfulness is mindfulness. So how would you define mindfulness? What is mindfulness, and how is it connected to meditation?
Right. Okay. So I would say I like looking at mindfulness and meditation. I like looking at mindfulness as a noun. It's the state of being. So you can be mindful. You can be present. Meditation is more of a, I would say, like, of doing. You're sitting and you're doing, and you're allowing yourself to just be with you. I'm not sure if that really explained it.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
Makes a lot of sense. So meditation is the verb, the action that you take, and mindfulness is the, basically,
the noun.
Maybe the result.
Yeah,
the
result.
Of...
Yeah. So in order to be, honestly, to, I personally think, in order to truly be mindful with walking, with eating, with sleeping, or with whatever activity you're doing, there needs to be some type of meditation practice. These two go hand in hand.
Yeah, I see. So really, with meditation, you become more mindful. And if you want to be more mindful, then you want to do more meditation. So,
exactly. So
again,
it's like this positive loop.
You kind of. Right, right. You're kind of jumping ahead all the time. It's almost like you're reading my mind, and it's becoming very eerie, but I like it.
Really?
Don't get me wrong. I like
it
a lot. Not too many people do.
That's incredible.
No, because every time I think of a question, you're answering it, and I don't have a chance to ask, which is great. I could just keep my mouth shut, and you'll just do all the questions and answers, which is great also. So,
wow, that's incredible.
What? I know. So what is the benefit? What's the outcome of meditation? Yeah, we know that it makes you more mindful, but how does it affect your life?
For me, it's really transformed my life. I think I mentioned earlier on that I went from having a lot of anxiety, a lot of what if, a lot of, like, future-based, if I don't do da-da-da-da-da, then da-da-da-da-da-da, and a lot of that. And meditation really allowed me to really, for the most part, 90% of the time, really not be experiencing anxiety. Yes, I do experience anxiety when there's unexpected things and when there's changes or when life happens or things happen, for sure. But on, like, daily, routinely, like, there's really this release of anxiety that happened because of meditation. And I wasn't attached. One thing I think that's also important to keep in mind, I mentioned, meditation is not about pushing away sadness, anxiety. It's not about being calm. It's not about being happy. It's not about being joyous. It's not about that. It's really just being present with yourself. Meditation is a way for you to learn about yourself. It's a way for you to understand what my thoughts are, what my emotions are. So when it's coming to the everyday, to be mindful, to be attentive with everyday tasks, you're able to do it because you're in this, I wouldn't say meditative state, but you kind of are in this meditative state. So when you're interacting with other people, so you're able to have more of a clarity. So it's really, meditation is about just being and allowing your thoughts, your feelings, everything to be. And the ultimate goal is you potentially will be more calm. You potentially will be more attentive. You potentially will able to see things more clearly. But that's not the intention. When you're meditating, the intention is just to really watch your thoughts and to your feelings and just watch it. And ultimately to create this space. And you're able to create that space through lots and lots and lots of practice.
Sounds like something everybody should be doing in first grade. And they should start because it would totally be a life.
I actually started to introduce that. Actually, I'm working on, for my doctoral project, I'm working on mindfulness meditation. And I'm actually teaching the teachers, and I taught a lot of the students, my occupational therapy students that I work with, my first through, I work with pre-1A through like 6th, 7th, 8th graders, and I've actually taught them meditation. And really the focus is the breathing aspect of it, how a lot of the time they're very caught up in their grades or their friends or that they have so much to do. So I'll just really teach them how to be on the breath. And I actually gave a workshop a few weeks ago in a local private school about attention and breathing and the importance of breathing. And I had the teachers learn basic, simple breathing techniques that they can implement with their students before an exam or before they're learning something really challenging. And I've had a lot of positive feedback with that. So starting out really, really young is really important. Not necessarily meditation per se, but more, I would say, about the breathing part of it. Because kids are very mindful. They're very attentive. They're very present. It's the adults that tend to be very not mindful and mindless a lot of the time.
Yes, yes. Kids are so much in the present that you have to snap them out of it sometimes. So that's not their problem at all. So maybe meditation will help them stay in the present for longer in their life, so they don't lose that as quickly as we did.
Exactly. And ultimately, hopefully, they can maintain that so they won't lose most of it. Hopefully, that's, you know, ultimately.
Right. So I was wondering if you would mind, like right before we finish, to do maybe a 4-minute meditation, so to give us an idea or a sample of it in the back, as soon as you finish talking. Yeah, it's okay? Okay,
yes,
so everybody sit back. Okay, so I want everybody to just sit back and enjoy. We're going to be talking for one more thing because I want to tell you about the things that Hani offers. She has a lot of things that she offers, and we want to talk about that for a minute. But after we talk about that, we're going to do a 4-minute meditation. I'm going to leave 4 minutes for us to be able to do that. So these are the things that I know that you do, that you give meditation classes, you just mentioned that, but you give meditation classes to kids and to adults, and you start in first grade. I think that's outrageous. That's amazingly outrageous. you give life coaching sessions, one-on-one, all those. You give group life coaching sessions, and you just mentioned that you did a workshop, so you do workshops. And since you're an occupational therapist, you do things as an occupational therapist, you do workshops, movement workshops, and that's a lot to offer. If somebody is interested in a one-on-one meditation with you or life coaching or anything else, how do they get a hold of you? Like, how do you work? And how do they know when your next workshop might be if they want to join?
Okay. So I'm in the process of setting up a website. I would say the best way to reach me at this point would be my email, which is hanimess@yahoo.com. It's hanimess@yahoo.com. And I'd love to hear from you, your thoughts, your feelings, any questions or anything. Feel free to reach out to me. And I'm extremely thankful and grateful that you took the time to listen to the podcast. And I'm extremely thankful for Tippi for taking the time as well. So thank you.
Well, we're extremely grateful to you for doing what you do and for talking to us about it. And I just want to mention to everybody that if you really want to hear Hani speak, if you're really, really excited, all you have to do is fly to Italy. And your next speech is going to be in Italy. So not only are you going to get to be a tourist and enjoy your trip, you're also going to hear Hani speak there, right? You are going to Italy.
I'm going to be going to Italy in exactly a week from Tuesday. I'm going to be speaking on mindfulness meditation. I'm going to be talking to adult population. I'm very excited about that. I'm also in the practice of also creating local workshops for teachers on mindfulness meditation as well. And I'm interested in doing more public speaking engagement when it's coming to mindfulness meditation, when it comes to movement, when it comes to sensory. Like, I have a lot of information and a lot of expertise in those areas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you've studied a lot on occupation. Occupational therapy is about movement too, isn't it?
Yes. One of the areas I would say is one, the importance of the gross motor, which is being able to move large muscle groups. I focus a lot on the core, the shoulders, the hands, and a lot of like weight-bearing mm-hmm. activities to really help the students, especially a lot of the students that I'm working with. They have a developmental delay, and they have poor difficulty sitting for a prolonged period of time. And a lot of the time with the students that I'm working with, it's stemming from the core weakness in their core muscles.
Yeah, that sounds like a challenge.
Yeah, okay. So we incorporate a lot of yoga with my students.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So I just want to mention your email again because you went really fast. So it's Hani Mess, CHANIEMESS at yahoo.com. That's how you can get in touch with Hani. And before we do meditation, there is something that most people don't know about you. What is it?
I would say that most people do not know about me is that I was able to transform, for the most part, sadness as something, as a way to empower myself and to help others learn how to empower themselves as well.
So most people don't know that you went through a period when you were sad and you were actually got over that in a healthy way without drugs.
Yeah, no drugs, yes. No alcohol, none of that. Honestly, I would say through meditation. And through mindfulness and through a lot of wisdom teaching and a lot of reading, a lot of being in nature and my mentors.
Nature.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Nature.
Where do you find nature in Brooklyn?
Marine Park. There is Prospect Park. Those are really incredible parks.
Yeah.
Or even just a tree. Just finding a tree and walking around a tree or sitting next to a tree.
Uh-huh. Sometimes that's enough, huh? It's like a little bit of nature. Give me a little bit of rest.
Yeah. Exactly.
Sometimes people find it a challenge to find a little bit of nature within a city that's very crowded and very noisy. So the fact that you can find a little bit of nature within Brooklyn, you can find nature anywhere you are. It's just not possible not to find it.
Exactly. Yeah. There's always like, if let's say you're in a city, there's like a train right away. You can find it. And if you're not able to, find that tree, find that backyard, find that local park that has that tree. And even if it doesn't have the tree, even just your bedroom or even just your dining room and just that chair, you know, can just be as effective. Because I know a lot of the time it's not feasible to be able to be out in nature.
Yeah. Well, honey, that was beautiful. And I think that meditation is more than just being mindful. I think it also gives you more control over your life. If you're having problems controlling what you eat, being mindful will help you control what you eat. If you're having problems controlling what you do every day, if you don't have as much discipline as you would like to have, being mindful will help you with that. I don't think there's any part of life that doing meditation and becoming more mindful will not help a little bit in every way. So I definitely suggest that you should meditate every day. You definitely can take one-on-one class with Hani. But if you're not going to do that, definitely find a way to do it. Find a way that you'll be able to meditate. And so talking about meditation and mindfulness, now I'm dying to feel what it is. So are you ready to give us a small sample of a four-minute meditation?
Yeah, so this will be a very simple meditation. The intention is just to notice your thoughts and your feelings. And I'm going to be cueing in on every few seconds, like backing on the breath. And this meditation I learned through Dr. Shefali. And a lot of the speaking comes from Dr. Shefali's ideology, so some of it's my added twist to things a little bit. So This is the type of meditation. And just keep in mind, this is a sample, so everyone can get like a little bit of a taste of what a simple meditation practice can be like. And this is also guided. So, yeah. So if everyone can find a comfortable position wherever you are, as long as you're like not driving and just really ideally sitting upright.
Yeah, don't do this while you're driving. Don't do this while you're driving. Is it better to sit up or to lay down?
Whatever feels comfortable. Ideally, it's sitting upright position, feet flat on the floor. Your palms can be on your lap. Your palms can be on the side. And it's whatever feels comfortable to you. It's not, you have to sit in a certain way or be a certain way, what your body's feeling. If you're feeling like you want to lay down, you can lay down. It's not ideal, but that if that's what you're feeling, that's what you can do. You're just going to sit in this comfortable position. And for this meditation, we are just really going to focus in on, when I first started meditating, the heartbeat was really, really prominent for me. It felt really strong, but you need to notice within your body, where are you feeling sensation? Is it coming from your belly? Is it coming from your chest? Is it coming from, are you feeling it at your heart? So just be attentive to that. And whenever you're ready, feel free to close your eyes. And not going to really focus in on counting, just really about being attentive. And now we're just going to breathe in and breathe out. And just notice your breath and just breathing in and breathing out. Notice how your body's feeling. If you're sitting on a chair, noticing the cushion of the chair, noticing your feet flat on the floor, and just being with that, and as being on the breath, noticing your thoughts, and just allowing your thoughts to be. Every time you're noticing your mind is wandering, allowing yourself to go back onto the breath. Breathing in and breathing out. Maybe your breath is feeling really deep. Maybe it's feeling really shallow. Just noticing your breath. Just going to try not to speak for a minute so everyone can get a sense of in silence. Thinking, wow, this minute feels really long, or this minute felt really fast. Just notice that and notice how, is it really silence within yourself, or are you noticing the chatter? Are you noticing the light that's brushing on your eyes? Are you noticing your planning and your thinking? Or maybe you're thinking about something that happened today at work or something that happened today at school. Just notice that. Is it really, really silent, or is there your thoughts and your feelings that potentially might be taking over? Just noticing that and allowing that and being with that. As your mind drifts, notice back onto the breath and allow your breath to really reorient and refocus yourself to being right here, right now, in the moment. And whenever you're ready, you can open your eyes and notice, how are you feeling? Maybe you went into the meditation feeling anxiety, and maybe you feel a little bit less. Maybe it feels the same. Maybe you went into the meditation feeling really upset or angry, and maybe it's the same. Maybe it's less. Maybe just notice. Just notice how you're feeling, and just remain on the breath as best as you can for the next few hours or whatever is left within your day. Thank you for joining me on this meditation.
You know what I love the most? I love the non-judgmental and easy flow that you kind of allow, where you give enough instructions and then you step back just enough time. And I was basically here, you guinea pig. I don't know who else was joining us, but just exactly when my mind started floating away, you said, well, if your mind is floating away, yeah, okay, like that. So I think we're synchronized, obviously. And I found that to be extremely beautiful, very, very beautiful.
Incredible. Great. I wanted to give people the experience of to have the guidedness, but then to also to have the part of not as guided, so people can get that sense of how busy and how we're constantly like thinking and doing, and we easily get caught up. And this is when we're sitting. This is when we're trying to be present. So imagine when we're in our daily life and our eyes aren't closed and we're not in our comfy chair or in our comfortable bed or whatever it may be. So just something to bear in mind.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Because the mind is so busy, and I'm beginning to realize that time flows really fast when you lose your mind to things that are outside of yourself. When you, especially like if you lose yourself in an internet or something that's very addictive. So yeah, thank you so much.
Very easier.
That was really,
thank
really
you.
Beautiful, honey. We are running out of time, but I think that everything that you do is a beautiful message of a way to make your life more powerful and be able to accomplish more. It definitely makes sense that you're able to do all those things without being in a mental institute. Because I think it balances you back and it gives you that, okay, all those things don't matter. I'm just going to be the state of being. And I think that's your secret. That's your secret to the accomplishment that you do.
It's freedom. You're really just in this free environment. And it doesn't allow you to get stuck because things are constantly changing. And there's always... you always can create things or make things for yourself, and you can gear your life towards a path that you want to go towards.
Right. I'm going to even write it out. You can gear your life towards the thoughts that you want to go for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, ultimately. That can be like the ultimate goal of meditation.
You can, that's really nice. So since you came to the end of our time together here, I was wondering if you have like one thing maybe that people can take away from this, like your takeaway message, your final thought, what would it be?
Cultivating a meditation practice will transform and will change your life. And it's all about taking one step at a time to incorporate meditation in your life.
Right. So you don't necessarily have to become an expert and be able to sit for 30 minutes to begin. Just take that first step and totally begin.
Even just that minute. Just that 2 minutes, and then expanding upon it. Or even if it's just that 2 minutes for weeks and weeks and weeks, just that 2 minutes, and then just going from there and seeing where life will transform and seeing where life will take you, because life will always take you somewhere, whether you want to go there or not. Ultimately, that's going to happen.
Right. Well, we've come to the end of our time together here on Sippy Talk. Thank you, Hani Messinger, so much. You not only are in the middle of growing and doing so many things, you're also already reaching out and teaching other people. So we're definitely looking forward to hearing from you again soon. It's been such a pleasure speaking with you, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so grateful and so incredibly thankful. So thank you. And thank you for creating this podcast. I think the idea and what you are trying to promote to the world is incredibly beautiful. Thank you.
Wow, thanks. That makes me feel amazing. So, yeah, thank you so much. Have a wonderful evening, and we shall talk to you guys again next week.
Honey, we are looking to hear amazing things from you.
Thank you. Take care. Have a great night. Bye.
You too. Bye.
Been running through me like you got somewhere to be. You're stuck in a full-time daydream. Always in a rush, I know you're busy for lunch. Taking pictures of your coffee. Cold feet on the gas, I've been driving too fast. Chasing you down like shots of vodka. Every night I'm in bed, you're just a name in my head. And I say it like it's my mantra. Your aviators, but your heart.